welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast, end of year extravaganza part two. So if you made it through last night's podcast, when we finished talking up, we had awarded four awards yesterday. We had awarded the FTM Award of the Year, which went to Proud Mirren. We had awarded the Germany Disappointments Award of Mute. We had already awarded the Best Sequel Award to Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse and the most surprising film of 2018 to Upgrade. And we're here for part two, where we're going to be going through a few more awards, which you're going to hear in a little bit. I just felt the need to break up this massive recording into different pieces, which why you don't hear my co-hosts doing this introduction. But yeah, here's part two, and thanks for joining. And here we come to my favorite award that I've been looking forward to talking about. The heart and soul of the team award, the MVP. Yep. This is an award I like to give out to people or maybe ideas that happened in the year gone by of movies that we feel kind of stood out, and maybe they weren't in the best movies, but they definitely shined constantly throughout the year.
Put in that work.
So our nominations for this year, start at the top. Awkwafina, a name that I literally only thought was a bottle of water, comes to us out of Crazy Rich Asians and Ocean's 8. And I would sort of like to mention as a side, but I don't know if you guys are still watching, I really liked her appearance on SNL this year when she was promoting stuff.
No. I think I tried to watch the first episode and stopped.
I understand our complaints about Crazy Rich Asians and Ocean's 8, but I legit loved every minute of Awkwafina in both of those movies.
You can see that Awkwafina is
your enthusiasm for her got me to rethink whether or not she was good in Ocean's 8. And it almost didn't, but it almost got me to rewatch Ocean's 8. Then I remembered it's Ocean's 8 and it's not. I'll just take Andrew's word for it.
You just take my word for it.
Yeah.
The one and only time in the history of the world, Damien will just, his word for it.
I'll just take it, yeah. I'm actively trying to erase every memory of Ocean's 8 out of my brain. So, yeah.
But yeah, there are bits in Crazy Rich Asians where...
Yeah, she's spectacular in Crazy Rich Asians. All her reactions to the situations are fantastic. Her advice is the worst advice consistently.
Mm-hmm.
She is having the most fun in that movie.
She shows up to that party and she's like, I'm just dropping you off. And then once she goads herself into an invite, she pops her trunk and pulls out her dress. She's like, I'm ready.
I'm not a savage.
She had to react next to Ken Jeong, and it was beautiful.
Ken Jeong is getting on my nerves.
He found his way there a long time ago.
Yeah, but I don't normally watch anything with him in it.
Yeah, that's true.
Once the Hangover movies got to part two, then he already found his way into that territory.
He's consistently jumping over the shark. But even with him in there, she was still fun. I do like her. She did act the shit out of those movies. Although I don't know how much of an act it is. Based on everything I've heard, that is her personality.
This was the year that I was introduced to Awkwafina, and it was quite an introduction.
No, you can listen to her music.
Let's not go that far.
I've heard one of her songs. Would you like to know why? Because one of her songs is at the tail end of one of these fucking two. They just merged to me. Can't remember.
Uh-huh.
But I remember I was hearing a song and then this lady was rapping on it. And I'm like, oh, I know that voice.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't good. So, sorry.
Are you saying that women can't rap?
That's exactly what I'm saying, Damien. You hit the nail right on the head.
Mm-hmm.
My next nomination goes to one Mr. Brian Tyree Henry, who we all might right, know so better as
is this
Paperboy. This is Paperboy.
Oh,
all right,
Paperboy.
From Atlanta. Yes. As he had a wonderful season in Atlanta. Yes. Then he was in Widows, which was great. Mm-hmm. Then he was so into the Spider-Verse.
I still don't believe you.
Then he was in Beale Street. And while I personally do not like Beale Street at all, his scene in Beale Street was pretty great.
Does he rap and does he say Paperboy?
Nope,
paper
he does
boy.
Not say Paperboy.
Paperboy.
he was having quite a year in 2018, yes. as one could see from the list of films that he is. Mm-hmm.
And I think he's in Us, right? Is he going to be in Us?
But yeah, that's next year.
That? I know it's next year. I'm just.
I don't know if he's in that. I'm not sure.
Did I see, was it IMDb SIT or something? I don't know. Whatever. I've seen him in a couple other things.
I'm looking forward
to that
movie.
Every time I see him on his screen, I get excited just because of Paperboy. That's how good Atlanta is. Like, I see him and I will physically respond. I will literally say out loud, Paperboy. Mm-hmm. And
it's all about that Paperboy.
It's so sad.
I mean, I've actually nominated a lot of people who have to do with Widows this year. Even though I'm not a huge fan of Widows, there was a lot of good things going on in Widows for like character work. And
they spent a lot. They picked as many good actors in Widows as they got whoever the casting director for Widows did their job.
Yeah,
they got a lot of people.
Yeah.
Who can act the shit out of a movie when given the chance.
Yep.
So that is why I'm really excited to watch that movie.
But yeah, that's Brian Tyree Henry. He's done some work this year. Douglas, you saw the Mary Poppins.
Yes, I did.
And you want to talk about the Dick Van Dyke.
Yes, Dick Van Dyke is great. He is in that movie for about a half a second. It's a short cameo, but it's so good.
Who's Dick, Richard Van Dyke?
Well, Richard Van Dykeldorf, right?
I thought you were going to say Van Winkle.
You did it. All Richard Van Winkle would have been better.
Yeah.
Well done, Andrew. But well done. You saw my arms out and accepted the challenge.
But Dickie Boy is he's great generally, right? Apparently he does like, I don't know if it's Instagram or whatever, but he actually has put up various videos online of him just fucking around and stuff, which is interesting. And I actually, so one of the reasons why I was so surprised in a positive way was, to be honest with you guys, I didn't really need confirmation. I didn't really have confirmation. Mm-hmm. But you guys tell me, if somebody said to you, Dick Van Dyke has been dead for quite some time, would you disbelieve them?
Yeah, and I've accepted that as the truth.
Right. So I said to myself, I was comfortable in the knowledge that Dick Van Dyke was not living with us.
Yeah, passed a long time ago.
And then I only happened to watch this movie because my parents wanted to go and it became like a birthday thing for my dad. Right. But maybe a couple weeks before Christmas, some sort of PR thing came out that I happened to see where Dick Van Dyke was like, yeah, I'm in this movie. And I was like, wait, sorry, what? I completely thought he was not with us. And then to go from this man being a dead man to this man being, all right, fine, he's alive and he's, you know, a rickety old man going to be in this movie, to then seeing watching him
popping
and locking, yes, in this film. And to also know that he 100% did it himself. That was not CG or stuntmen or anything. That was him.
There was no
dancing on a table, right? Mm. Like doing fucking tap dancing, like a fucking 20-year-old.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Andy Serkis had something to do with that, aren't you?
And that he was doing
did we
it.
Check and make sure Weta was doing the work. ILM.
And then to see him do it with the weight of at least this bear that he had to wear was at least 100 pounds, right? Damien, I just like You know what? I'm going to look. Oh, you're going to watch it? That's fine. I'm going to look up, like, if they're in his screen capture so you can see what he looked like.
I remember it from the trailer.
Okay, cool. Yeah, it was ridiculous.
And I saw the dancing and it was so funny. But I just assumed ILM had something to do with it.
No, they didn't. And, you know, the funny thing is, after when I found out he was alive, I was like, oh, yeah, he probably was, because I think maybe 3 or 4 years ago, he did another dance number at some concert, and I didn't know about it. So he's literally like 92 or 93. For you to be that age and to be spry like that.
Yeah.
Hats off.
Modern medicine is a wonderful thing.
A wonderful thing, especially when you've got lots of money, right?
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
But yeah, Dick Van Dyke in Mary Poppins. If you guys have the ability or are able to see this movie, it's great. It's just a throwback movie with nostalgia galore, with charm galore, with magic galore. It's not the greatest movie ever, but it touches the heart. It makes you warm inside for a little while. It's great. Yeah, love it. Yeah. And Dick Van Dyke in it, just magic.
Just keep on going, Douglas.
So I nominated The Rock because
didn't see that movie.
Because of course, I mean, come on, Sean Connery is great. Nick Cage, they're a weird pair. They work well together. But no, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, simply because Dwayne The Rock Johnson, he's amazing. He was in one really good movie and one really bad movie this year. And any year that I get to watch The Rock, I mean, I'm happy.
It's a good year.
Yeah. This is obviously going nowhere, but The Rock is awesome. Mm-hmm. Andrew, I see you have a similar nomination.
Yes.
Do I? Is this me?
I don't know. Cena. Somebody does. John Cena for the Blockers. Yet another pro wrestler gone amateur.
But John Cena does have a chance of winning this.
All right. So let's move on. I nominated Walton Goggins. We know him as Boyd Crowder, which is always a fun touchstone, given that I spent the back half of this year rewatching some of Justified.
Nice. Houston. Right?
But he also made his Boyd Crowder appearance in things such as Ant-Man and the Wasp, as well as Tomb Raider. And he never disappoints when he's given credence to be a smarmy bad guy. And while
he's literally biting the scenery.
Yep. And I mean, wasn't Vice Principal season two this year?
Yep.
Was it?
It might have been. Was.
Right. Early this year, which I still haven't finished. I need to go back to that show. He's always fun, and I feel like he definitely is deserving to be on, at least in the conversation of MVP, when he's given those sort of roles.
Yeah. Like Tomb Raider sucks, but he's tremendous in it. And the character in Ant-Man is just perfect.
He walks in and he's like, of course you don't wash the undercarriage here, because there's no snow here. Don't you know this? Damien, you have something to say about Sir Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage is a crazy person, but his craziness got us Mandy, and listen, we've seen Nicolas Cage do a lot of crazy shit, and finally someone called him again and said, we want you to be as crazy as you can. We're going to put you in this movie where for half of it, there's no craziness. You just stare at the camera and be as muted as humanly possible. And then we want you to lose your goddamn mind. And they did. Like, it's peak Nick Cage. It is the Nick Cage that you know and love. It's really fantastic. And then he appeared in The Spider-Man as Noir Spider-Man. And while he wasn't as crazy, it was still fun to watch Nick Cage go about his Nick Cage business. So we got to see both sides. We got to see peak lunatic, and we also got to see a more reserved but still fun Nicolas Cage. in Spider-Man, whatever the Spider-Verse.
How many times do you think we're going to be seeing Spider-Man for the rest of this podcast?
A lot. It's real good.
Yeah. You guys listening should turn this into a drinking game. Every time we say Spider-Man, take a shot!
Shot, 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 shot.
So I think this is Douglas's nomination next.
Yes, it is.
And it follows with an apology.
What? How do I follow with an apology?
After you said the name, you have to apologize to Andrew.
I don't apologize. Come on. Mm-hmm. I'm like Lil Wayne. I don't ask questions. I don't apologize. But yeah, so Jodie Comer. And technically, she hasn't been in any movies this year. So it's going to be a hard sell, but
I mean, you can't prove that she hasn't been
exactly. She probably just murdered all of the actresses in the movies that she was in, which is why they didn't come out. Because she is Villanelle in Killing Eve, and she is one of my favorite new characters. Well, not Jodie Comer, but Villanelle. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite new characters that I can actually get to know and love in 2018. Killing Eve is a great television show. I'm happy that it's got a second season that's coming out, I suppose, sometime this year. And this girl is just great in it, where she's this killer with... assassin with no compunctions, no cares, no feelings. And just, you know, watching her bounce around in exquisite dresses, laughing with balloons for a handler, and the way she gets more and more extravagant and detailed in how she kills people. And it's, oh, this is beautiful. This is, you know what this is? This is Alice Morgan on drugs, is what this is.
In this, I think it was the second episode, she came back to our apartment and there's an old lady coming downstairs with garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And she keeps up some high level amsos. And I was just like, man, this girl is going to go very far. And to know that that is nowhere close to where that character ends up is something really special.
Mm-hmm.
I, like you, ignored Andrew because he's wrong all the time. And while Andrew wants an apology, this is technically not a movie, and so I don't have to apologize. I remember saying that Killing Eve is the best thing that came out this year. The thing I forgot is that I watched The Expanse this year. And while Killing Eve, in its six or so episodes, does the thing that The Expanse takes more episodes to do, if I were to tell, like, the story of Killing Eve can be told in two sentences. If I started telling you what happened in The Expanse, you'd think I'd lost my mind. The amount of ground they cover. But she's tremendous in Killing Eve. In fact, everyone in Killing Eve plays their role so well that it's like she's clearly the standout, but you could make cases for everybody in that show.
Especially the handler.
Yeah. Like, again, you could make a case for, like, I love the husband. Like, he's good. I like the...
I really like the IT guy. And as much as I don't generally like Sandra Oh, she has her standout moments, especially in that last episode. Yeah.
Sandra Oh reminds you that... even though she hasn't done it a lot in over her time acting, she can. She's not been asked to. Someone asked her this time, and she did.
She was like, I can do it this time? They're like, yeah, go ahead. Cool.
And it was good.
Yeah. All right, I have a few nominations here to go with. Robert Redford for The Old Man and the Gun. I know, apparently, Damon, you don't like this movie that much. I actually quite liked it. I'm not really meaning for this to kind of stick. I just wanted to mention it because on top of everything else, it's technically supposed to be his final film ever. So I wanted
to just... a lifetime achievement.
Yeah, so this is a lifetime achievement to Robert Redford, who I've loved forever. Right? I just wanted to mention it out there.
All right. If that's the case, then I won't. I won't give you a lot of pushback.
I want to like this movie.
I too have loved Robert Redford for a long time. So I won't say any bad things about this movie.
And Douglas, in case you didn't know, Tom Waits is in this movie too. So hey.
That's cheating.
I actually, I didn't know that.
Oh, okay.
That's cheating. That doesn't count.
Doesn't count.
You can't say Tom Waits to Douglas.
That's cheating.
Okay. Yeah, that's not fair.
I also wanted to nominate Olivia. She made an appearance in Game Night as well as Widows, which I have now displayed in the Discord chat. She's the dog.
Oh, that's so stupid.
Yes, you are an idiot.
Okay.
When you said
Olivia, I thought Olivia was just the first name of an actress.
Yeah.
Nope. look. I thought it was.
I honestly thought it was Olivia Wilde. I didn't know that she wasn't in either of those movies. So there you go.
This is really just a dumb nomination, and just the fact that in both of those movies, in both of those movies, the dog really stands out as like a thing to attach to the characters that are there with. I mean, you guys have seen Game Night, so you can attest to her appearance in said film. Widows, it's pretty much the same, and people push that. She carries that dog around everywhere. And it just makes it that much funnier where she's like, I need to be a badass, but I've got this nice fluffy dog. So yeah, it was just a dumb nomination I felt like mentioning. But more to the point, one nomination out of Widows that I do mean a lot about, Elizabeth Debicki, which is a name I've heard repeated forever throughout this year talking about that movie. And I kept going, which one is Elizabeth Debicki? And then I looked it up and I'm like, right, I loved her in this movie. She plays a very timid version of a woman where she looks like the trophy wife. And then suddenly she's put in this position where she has to fend for herself. But her character, everything feels like she's playing on this stereotype of being this weak woman and just uses it to her advantage in great ways that I found just wonderfully awesome for this movie to play. There's a point where she has to go buy some guns. Like, that's her task. They're like, go buy guns. We need guns because you're white. They won't check you. And then you think she's like this dumb blonde trophy wife, but she's smart enough to like trick someone into buying the guns for her, so that it's harder to trace around. And she's probably my favorite character out of that movie. Actually, no, that's not true. My second favorite character, who's lower down on this list that I'm going to mention out of Widows, which I'm going to skip to since I just mentioned it. Which is Daniel Kaluuya, who we know better as the main guy from Get Out, from 2016 or 17 that movie happened. He plays pretty much the bad guy henchman in this movie, and he pretty much has a look for the entire film where he's going to murder you no matter what, and he deserves to be in his own movie. The way he played the character in this film. Like, I feel like he watched a lot of Korean films in order to prepare for Widows. The way he just kind of stares around.
No baiting me and Douglas. We're already going to watch this movie. You have to invoke Korea.
I love him so much in this movie. I wish there was more of him. And I wish I had other movies he was in this year to nominate him for. Because I kind of feel like with MVP, I wanted to kind of share around. But, it was so good. I had to mention it. But somebody wants to talk about Rampage now. And another animal nomination.
I don't know about that. But anyway, I haven't watched any of the movies she's in this year, clearly. Well, actually, that's not true. But any of the movies you are talking about with her in. But I really do like Elizabeth Debicki. She was in
She was in the Cloverfield movie.
Yeah, Cloverfield movie. But she was good.
Yeah.
And she's great. Ever since Man from U.N.C.L.E.,
mm-hmm.
I have loved that woman in anything I've seen her in. She was Victoria.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was the evil woman that they were fighting against. And then she went. Then the next big thing that I saw her in was Guardians from the Galaxy, mm-hmm. which she was so stupid and so great. But yeah, she's awesome.
Who's she in Guardians of the Galaxy? Is she one of like the gold people or something?
Yeah, she was the leader of the people that are assholes from the beginning that wanted batteries or something like that. they stole batteries from him.
Oh my God.
But yes, let's move on to another nomination. And I have nominated, I call him Ape, even though he's not an ape. Damn it, that's racist.
They probably gave him a name in the movie.
Of course they did.
I'm not going to check. Right?
The monkey here. Or the...
That's racist. I'm sitting right here. Okay.
The lead role from Rampage.
Let's kick it out of football. Yeah.
The ape from Rampage is so good. Listen. So, I watch that movie... Really expecting not much. I expected more from Skyscraper than I did from this. And this gave me everything I needed and more. This gave me an ape who knew how to fuck with people. Yes. Specifically how to fuck with a rock.
Mm-hmm.
And an ape that knows how to give us all the finger.
Yep.
And that is just...
An ape that knows what sex is.
Yes, I forgot about that.
Tremendous.
Oh, I honestly, like, I don't know how they could do it, and I'm not even sure I could like whatever they get done, but I want the concept of another movie, of like a franchise with this ape and with The Rock, and they're somehow, not necessarily solving crimes, but they're like a team fighting, whether it's crimes or supervillains or whatever it is.
I'm pretty sure it's in the next Godzilla movie.
But yeah, that ape is great.
It's real fun.
And to keep with a common tone,
yes,
I also would like to nominate some other tomfoolery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I should say Kurt Russell, but I'm not nominating Kurt Russell.
No.
What I am doing is I'm nominating Cowboy Santa from The Christmas Chronicles.
As
Santa.
You know, he might. If you watch the movie, you'll see. He comes close to
if you get to the end, sure.
Yeah. So myself and Damien have watched this movie, and we've both agreed that this movie is grade A horseshit. It's very bad. But,
yes.
There is one sweet gem, and that is Kurt Russell playing Santa Claus like he's a fucking cowboy.
Yep.
And for you, Andrew, I've said this before, there is even a musical scene that is great. I don't know where Damien falls on this one, because...
I'm going to plead the fifth.
There we go. Damien doesn't like music. He only listens to screeches and scratches in his earphones.
I don't listen to rap, which isn't music.
But no, Cowboy Santa, he... Essentially, Kurt Russell gave me what he promised in the trailer. It's just that everything around him was rubbish.
They made a children's movie.
Yeah. But yeah, I love that character. Mm-hmm. Andrew, I think the rest of these are... Oh, wait, no, I have one. But you already did your Widows thing. So I'll just fast forward to my third shitty nomination. And drum roll, please. It is... Henry Cavill's guns. The fact that Henry Cavill and his arms are my favorite part of Mission Impossible. the fact that he can cock his arms mm-hmm. before he goes into any battle yeah, is now what I want. I want a documentary on Henry Cavill cocking his arms. It's so, it's so great.
I don't know who made that decision, but I'd like to thank whoever did.
Yes, please.
If that was, if he just thought that's how what people do before they fight, that's even better. If they're just like, pretend you're fighting, and he's just like, all right, that's fine. Perfect.
Oh, it's so great.
He's like, this is what happens every time I play Street Fighter.
Like, I hope that in his mind, when he's doing it, he hears a ksh-ksh and then says, welcome to the gun show.
he's arms out aside, he's really good in that. Like, he's really, really good in Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
He has to play several different kinds of characters, and he plays each of them effectively.
Yeah, that movie is a pretty decent movie. It goes to show either the quality of the franchise mm-hmm. or the amount of shenanigans that I get on with, that this movie just doesn't happen to be my favorite Mission Impossible movie.
Yeah, I mean, John Woo made one. I don't know if you remember. John Woo made one of these. There's dubs. So I don't know what the problem is.
Every time they do that jump mm-hmm. in the movie down to Paris, parachuting yeah. down, and they land, and Henry Cavill mm-hmm. is like, you lost your air tank. That's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's real weird.
Yeah. It's just like... He gets struck by lightning and Tom Cruise saves him, and he just wakes up and he's just like, you should be more careful. I just walked up. Perfect.
But yeah, Henry Cavill in general is quite an MVP to that movie.
He's... I love me some Henry Cavill.
Yep.
Not so good in Justice League.
So my last nomination, which I know there's no way in hell anyone's going to help me with this one, but I wanted to bring it up, especially because I feel for the last two or so years has been, and Damien has felt this, my re-entry into anime, right?
You just wouldn't leave me alone.
I wouldn't leave you alone, and guess where you are now, Damien?
Watching anime again.
You're watching anime again, but you're enjoying it, aren't you?
That's besides the point.
So... in my re-entry to anime, I've now been introduced to this wonderful filmmaker by the name of Masaaki Yuasa. And he had two pieces of work this year which were fantastic, right? There was Devilman Crybaby, which is a series that was on Netflix from January, which just was kind of insanely amazing. There were parts of it I didn't love as much, but it still, like, there's no doubting the style and the weirdness that this show kind of created. And on the complete other end of the spectrum is a very PG-centric Lou Over the Wall, which is pretty much a remake of The Little Mermaid, but it is a fantastical version kind of built around a band and this mermaid being attracted to the music and all sorts of things. But what I love the most about him is that he is this weirder animator. It's not like the anime where suddenly everything is hyper-realized and where we're seeing muscle upon muscle in Dragon Ball form, right? Where you wonder where that muscle came from. This feels almost like a Ralph Bakshi kind of animation where he loves to distort things and shift things even in the same scene. So it's not even a situation where you have someone who's perfectly apportioned, but that they just they morph almost as if, like, you're talking about Transformers doing their thing. And I've read a lot now being interested in his work as to how he happens to do his animation work in a lot of collaborative ways, which kind of hints at to why all of these styles just mesh together in his work. But he's definitely an animator that I feel like is worth paying attention to moving forward. And I look forward to anything that his name is attached to at this point. So yeah. Mm-hmm. He is definitely a nomination for me.
All right.
So that's our list for MVP. I feel that the two that might have the most support going into this listing might be Nick Cage and Awkwafina.
Yeah, I'd accept that.
I don't know who the third would be. I'm kind of lost at who the third would kind of go out into this as.
Douglas and I only pick joke nominations. So we'd probably put Walter Goggins in there. Like, both his movie, like...
But, no, I mean, Walton Goggins is great, but I don't feel like he's been peak Walton Goggins this year, you know?
I mean, true, but he wasn't asked to. But in both those movies, he did... Like, in Tomb Raider, he's the only one trying. Like, like, no one else tried in that movie. He did. And... In Ant-Man, like, he just did his job. Like, he played a smarmy, rich, asshole businessman to perfection. Like, he just did what they told him to do. So, I guess, unless you want to put Brian Henry.
Paperboy.
Right. For being Paperboy.
But, I mean, you guys don't see a 92-year-old man hopping around like he's 30 under 100 pounds of hair, fake hair.
According to you, he did it for maybe 2 minutes.
Yeah, he's in the movie for about five minutes.
So it's hard to
he has like give one big
MVP
scene.
To someone that's... Barely in a movie.
Like, I knew he was in the movie. So, I kept going, okay, when's this happening? When's this happening? And when the movie was clearly about to finish, I'm like, all right, seriously, when is this man? And he just popped in for like a while.
I'm surprised Andrew didn't nominate anyone from The Favourite.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I keep hearing, that the performances.
They are, really? Those are great, but I felt like as I was going down in this, and I think the first two is where I really spent most of my mental time on Walton Goggins. As I said, I try to think of MVPs as people who share their talent around for the year.
You're right.
Yeah. So, like, I was thinking of Emma Stone, and I'm like, there was nothing else for Emma Stone. I was thinking of Rachel Weisz. There was, like... She has a great performance, but does she deserve an MVP over people who kind of played the smaller roles and got around? Right? And maybe that's just the way I envision MVPs.
I get you.
Right? I think, and throw me a bone here if anyone's going to allow me, can I throw up Yuasa? Right?
As throw someone up what?
Masaki Yuasa, who threw his talent around for the year in two great projects.
I mean, sure.
Absolutely not.
We can't come to agreement with anything else. So we might as well.
No, I can live with Paperboy, you know. I just had to throw in my pick in there just for consideration. Paperboy. But I can live with Paperboy.
All right.
Actually, should it be Paperboy? I mean, he is great, but he's only great because of something that happened. You know what?
So just
Walton Goggins.
No, give it to Yuasa.
Yuasa?
Listen, we are both of us hate anime. God, but right. Andrew is the only person making credible claims. we did not take this seriously.
No,
we
didn't.
It is the one list that we... have given the shortest shrift. I don't know if you realize you put The Rock because.
Yes.
And I put a giant monkey.
Are we handing it to Nick Cage as the winner for this?
Yeah. I mean, Nick Cage does Nick Cage things.
Yeah.
Awkwafina is the one standout for two bad movies.
Yeah.
Like, she deserves it for us even recognizing that she's in these movies, because both those movies are bad, and she's the only thing that we talk about positively in either movie.
I'm definitely down with that.
I can live with that. Mandy's peak Nick Cage, but we've seen, like, Nick Cage has done this before. he kept screaming bees in another movie, which is basically Mandy.
So, okay, and that's the MVP, the Heart and Soul of the Team Award. The winner going to Awkwafina for Crazy Rich Asians and Ocean's 8, with the runners-up to Nicolas Cage for Mandy and the Spider-Verse, and Masaki Yuasa for Lou Over the Wall and Devilman Crybaby. Yep. Interesting.
Very much so.
But now we come, to the Mario Balotelli Award. Mm-hmm. That is the movie that was the most fun of 2018. Right? And our nominations are Upgrade, The Predator, Paddington 2, Game Night, The Favorite, Mary Poppins Returns, Isle of Dogs, Deadpool 2, Super Troopers 2, which makes a wonderful appearance, Rampage, Spider-Verse again, and The Tomb Raider. Can we cut out Tomb Raider and Super Troopers immediately?
Yes,
please. Yes, please.
like we know what those movies are.
Yes.
Right. So we've already talked about Upgrade and The Predator to Death and Paddington 2. Game Night. We all know that you guys do not like this movie. I don't know if Douglas actually even watched it. Did you?
Well, I mean, I don't like this movie, which is why I haven't watched it.
Oh, okay. All right, cool.
Did this for a podcast? Wasn't this a
podcast? No. It wasn't officially a podcast movie.
Okay.
And you know Douglas and officialness. He needs documentation in order to actually do things.
Like Cardinal, right? He needs it to be official.
I quite love Game Night, but I know that's not getting support. So I'm moving on with my life.
The favorite, I'm sure
I'm the only one who's seen this movie.
Yes.
I know I can probably get a lot of support on it just from the concepts alone. This movie is fantastic.
God, you guys know
what Lanthimos can do with a camera. Imagine if he didn't write it, made a period film, and had two women fight over the position of power to be next to the queen. Right? And Rachel Weisz and Emma Stone go at it. I love this movie a lot. I've shown Douglas a gif of a man dancing, which is enough for me to get Douglas's support.
The one where he's doing that.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he then goes down and comes up. Yeah, they pretty much
do like modern dancing in
another great period piece, A Knight's Tale.
Yeah.
Yep.
Do they floss?
Nope, there's no flossing. There's no Fortnite dancing. They don't go that far. they didn't want to get sued by the bag boy or whatever. The
backpack kid. Son.
Backpack kid. Backpack I don't know these things. I'm too old. So The Favorite. It is a fantastic film. Mary Poppins Returns, other than hearing about Dick Van Dyke dancing, what else is here for me to love?
Yeah, so this is genuinely, I know because neither of you have watched it, this is probably not going anywhere, but it's genuinely a fun movie. It has all of the charm, all of the magic that you'd expect. Emily Blunt is pretty good, because guess what? She's pretty much always pretty good. And it has people like Ben Whishaw,
who
gets his own song and is actually quite good in it. It's great. I love this movie. It's not great, but it is what it is. You know, it's a musical, so you love it, Andrew.
You say it's a Mary Poppins movie.
Yeah, and it's Mary Poppins.
I know what that is.
I don't know if Damon will like it, just simply because it's a musical.
I like
do you?
Yeah.
Well, then you'll probably like this one.
I expect it.
Yeah.
I refuse to go to Kev to watch it.
But something we really need to talk about,
yes,
is our next nomination.
Uh-huh.
Isle of Dogs.
I do love dogs.
Oh, I do not love dogs, but you know what? I love them when they're on an island and voiced by Bill Murray.
I love dogs. Andrew, why?
Yeah,
you
want
to explain to me why? Again,
should
for
have
the
rewatched
second time.
This movie for this conversation.
Oh Lord.
But I look, from my recollection of this movie from forever ago, the film just felt lost. Like there were points where I'm like, oh, it makes Wes Anderson fodder, where Jeff Goldblum, I feel to true honesty, they didn't give him a script. They just told him, imagine yourself as a dog and say what works. And he just did. And some of it worked, some of it was great. But then I feel...
He's such a gossip whore.
I feel a lot of the thing that got me was... Part of it was the language thing, right? Where...
Oh, and you know what, Andrew? That's what got me, but completely to the opposite. I thought that was so weird, but also just... I don't know, Wes Anderson-esque. It was perfect.
And
you
it's
know,
not so much about the premise of the joke, because the joke could have worked regardless of them just being like, look, this is a movie about dogs, we only care about dogs, don't have the people translated, right? Mm-hmm. But then there was so much focus on the people anyways that I felt like I spent so much time trying to figure out what was going on with the people that mm-hmm. it just felt weird and off to me and just didn't work. And... the rest of it, like, I felt was just Wes Anderson light, where it was just missing some key ingredient to get it perfect for me. And I did not like this movie. I should have watched it again once I realized you guys loved it, to kind of see what was going on. Maybe I was wrong. But, yeah, I remember coming out of this movie in March and just being like, meh, no.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, I think it was your... rabid dislike for this movie that made me wait so long to watch it, because you know, of course, I love Wes Anderson, watched pretty much all of his movies, maybe not every single one, but most of them, and I love what he has to say or how he puts together his stuff, and it took me a very long time. I think I only watched it maybe a month ago, probably not even that long. So
it's interesting,
this movie
for you
is
to
great.
Mention the fact that you're like, I like most Wes Anderson movies, but there's a part of my brain in the back that just screamed, not Darjeeling Limited, because that's the other one I really don't like that much.
Yeah,
and
that is.
For me to notice at that point that I'm like, oh wait, both of those movies are him going into very strange cultures for him, and they don't work well for me. Mm-hmm. And not just in like... the debate people generally have about cultural stuff, but just me being like, I feel like there's like a space he leaves for that cultural mm-hmm. question so yeah. that he can just do his movie, and that space feels massive for me watching those films.
Mm.
And yeah, it's just weird.
I get you.
So you're a xenophobe.
Yep. Right. I'm a xenophobe. I don't like Indian people and I don't like Japanese people.
No, aren't those the things in Aliens? Bang!
Those are xenomorphs?
Thanks, Andrew.
You're welcome. That's my job here, for ruining I Love Dogs.
Right.
I do love that the title, when you say it, sounds I Love Dogs.
Yes.
Yep.
Like, I do love that. But yeah, mm-hmm. didn't work for me. Sorry.
Oh, boy.
Skux Life! We've got Deadpool 2 on here. We've mm-hmm. spoken about it a little bit. Pretty good movie.
Pretty good.
I think all of us love it.
A lot of fun.
Yeah.
Cough, 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 cough. I'm here. I say no.
Lots of fun.
And then we've got Rampage. Yes, another great film.
Yes.
Tump approved. And then we have another movie that doesn't exist to me. Because I haven't watched it yet.
Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse.
I mean, movie that wins this category. think you made a mistake. Because the movie that is winning this category is the one that you're pretending you haven't seen.
So what do you guys think? I'll give you Spider-Verse, and then we get Upgrade on Isle of Dogs.
I agree. I haven't seen The Favorite. I assume it is fun.
Yeah, but...
but I haven't seen it.
Exactly.
And it feels wrong for me to put a movie on here just because I think I'm going to love it. And Andrew has done everything in his power to get me to think I'm going to love it. But based on the director's track record, I can't in good conscience give that man the benefit of the doubt. I refuse to. Because he's done us dirty a lot. And even though I enjoyed Lobster, many people did not agree with me.
Yeah. I want to go back to it because in theory, I'm supposed to like that movie, but I just didn't at the time. Very much like Andrew with Isle of Dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it didn't help that there was a certain director and writer involved.
Did not.
I get a Spider-Man win, I'm a happy man.
I mean, I too got a Spider-Man win. Upgrade is... people should go watch Upgrade. Yeah. It is remarkable how good that movie is. It had every chance of being the rubbish, but it did not. It fought very hard against that. And we really did enjoy Upgrade. Like, we really did.
Yeah, we really did.
And you remember how we were in that podcast? We were like, I think I like Upgrade. And by the end, we're like, we love Upgrade.
I like
and
this now,
and now we're like over the moon about Upgrade.
Yeah. Because now we know what it is. Like, now all expectations and time has passed so that you can look back at it, what it did well. Sure, the story was real bad and it makes no sense. But I like it.
It didn't mean to make sense.
Yeah.
So, okay, moving on our awards. Yes. We're almost there. We're at our penultimate award. The award that we talk about pretty much the most throughout the year.
Yep.
The award in which both teams played hard.
My man.
Right? but apparently one team played harder. Films nominated: The Lynn Ramsey, You Were Never Really Here.
Mm-hmm.
The Ron Howard Solo: A Star Wars Story. the Boots Riley, Sorry to Bother You.
Mm-hmm.
Adam McKay's Vice. Paul Schrader's First Reform. The Endless. I don't know who directed this. Alfonso Cuarón's Roma. Which I say with a surprise in my voice that means someone needs to delete that immediately.
No.
Terminal, Duncan Jones' Mute, Damsel, Hereditary, Pacific Rim 2, The Happy Prince, and Bad Times at the El Royale.
So, I know I'm skipping, but can somebody tell me what the hell The Happy Prince is? I don't know. I don't even know about that
movie. It's a movie that chronicles Oscar Wilde's life. And it is literal Oscar bait.
Who's like, in this?
It is one of those movies... who cares? Is that, okay. That concept? It is one of those movies where you watch it and you're like, how did these movies continue to be made? Movies that are basically pandering to the Academy. It's basically pointing at itself. It's just like, listen, you love Oscar Wilde, we love Oscar Wilde. Let's do this. But even for a cynical attempt to win an Oscar... all of the pieces.
I know who put this here.
I put it there.
Andrew's favorite actor is in this movie. Is not Andrew put it here?
I'm the one that put
it. Oh my, okay.
All of the parts work, but the sum does not. It's still boring. It's still a boring movie. Like, you can see that a lot of time was taken, a lot of effort. Like, you can see that everyone tried hard. Which is, it exemplifies this category. And effort was made. My argument is that the effort should not have been made. Despite the effort, it's...
I get you.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's start from the top. Andrew, yes. I have seen this movie and had the same response, but you, I believe, are the one that actually nominated. So let's go. Talk to me. Mm-hmm.
So my definition of this movie is hashtag not my taxi driver.
Yup.
Lena Ramsey is a director who appeared to us wanting to talk about Kevin, and we enjoyed that conversation.
Yeah. Yes, we
right?
did.
She has returned with this noir, dark, revenge-ish film with Joaquin Phoenix, who I've already mentioned as an actor several that times. I follow down dark, dark paths. Mm-hmm. And guess what? He's 0-3 this year between the Sisters Brothers, between...
I disagree with the 0-3.
I mean, on the movie really... front, on the movie front, he still acts the shit out of them.
Yeah, man. The thing is, I'm actually surprised that you're not a bigger fan of You Were Never Really There. Because that movie, like, usually I come to these movies for the revenging. But she made a movie based on a mood. Like, this movie feels like a thing that you would love. Because it is so steeped in feeling. Like, that is what this movie is. It is a man overcoming his natural inclination to do things. Like, a child, you know, changing them from a ruthless, faceless, emotionless murderer to... kind of a protector. And while I wasn't as enamored with this movie as I thought I would be, I didn't find this... Like, you guys are talking about this movie as if it was a complete wasting of your time.
No. I'm not as far gone as Andrew. I didn't appreciate it as much as I wanted to.
Yeah.
I do see some value in it, but I was definitely disappointed from what I was expecting. But Andrew, one thing I'd say in your 0-3 comment is... you are missing out, sir, because you're giving Joaquin a lower average than he should. He, I am sure, hit it out the pack, the park. with his take on Jesus in Mary Magdalene.
Correct. I haven't seen that one. Forgot about that one. I'm sorry. 0-4.
Well, he made a lot of movies.
Is there an opposite of an MVP? Right?
Yes. Relegated.
The Joy Barton Award.
Relegation. Joy Barton Award. All right. That works.
Honorable mention. Based to Joaquin Phoenix. For the inaugural Joy
but
Barton.
But yeah, like, I hear you, Damien, and this definitely was the movie that wanted to be loved by me. But by around the halfway mark, I felt myself exhausted with this film, right? Like, it felt like it had all of the things and it wanted to be my movie, but I just was not into it by the time the movie was ready to get going. And it's just a movie that both teams played very hard in, right? And I'm sad because I'm not sure. I don't think I've liked a Lynn Ramsey film since Kevin. I know I've seen Ratcatcher.
Yeah.
I know I've seen this. I think there's another one that came out in between. Let me double check that.
I think she did some episodes of like Aziz's show or something like that. Unless I'm thinking of somebody else.
Yeah, she hasn't done any films between Kevin and this.
She did Swimmer, a short.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known whatever that is. But I know I've seen Ratcatcher that people love, but I did not. And I just feel like maybe Kevin might be a one-off for me.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. It's scary that is the case. But I got we need to talk about Kevin Otto. I'm fine.
Yeah. My next nomination is a Star Wars film.
Oh, that was you.
Yeah.
Yes, which we have all talked about this on
And podcast. I have to tell you, Andrew, you're going to have to come hard because while I agree with you this movie is god awful, I would posit that none of the teams played hard here.
Yeah. No, I don't recall anyone playing hard in this. In fact, Dan, I think a lack of effort is to
be blamed. Childish Gambino played very hard in this movie. His swagger. He gave the swagger.
Listen to me, sir. Sir. Sir, you either have swagger or you do not. You don't act swagger. I will not allow incidental swagger to.
And you know what? I'm upset that everybody said how great this robot is, and this robot is a pile of shit.
You see, in desperate times, you cling on. In the darkest hours, you cling. You look to any light you can find.
Klingons are Star Trek. They're not Star Wars. Please get this straight.
Can I leave now?
All right, so maybe this one doesn't hang, but like I thought they played hard a little bit, but okay. Sorry to bother you. Plays very hard.
Yes.
A little too hard, some might feel. Right? Boots. Boots Riley, a debut filmmaker. Douglas, have you seen this film yet?
I have seen the trailer. I adore this Michel Gondry directed film.
There is a reference to Gondry in here.
I would hope so, given what it looks like.
Like, there's a point late in the film where, when Armie Hammer appears, he's explaining whatever his plan is to Lakeith.
Yes.
And he says, "Watch this tutorial video to explain what my business plan is." And it's pretty much a Michel Gondry movie, and they say directed by like Michel Dandry or something.
Somebody wouldn't give them the rights.
Like, it looks like a short that would have been in The Science of Sleep.
Yeah. Oh, I love that movie so much.
Yeah. But yeah, this movie, it goes so far. They do so many things right. They do it perfectly. It's too perfectly. That they didn't think they reached the perfect state, and then they went up like three more notches, and then you kind of have a sick stomach at that point. It's like eating too much chocolate, right? You get an upset stomach, and then you don't enjoy any of it after that point, because everything they do in this movie, they do it to a point of excess where the joke went beyond its own survivability to a certain extent, and I'm not just talking about the ridiculous third act where that plan gets explained and showed in very graphic detail, and I won't talk too much about it because Douglas hasn't seen it yet. But like, I think Damien, sounds like you've turned on this movie, but
You make a strong point.
Damien.
No, hold on.
Damien.
No.
Damien, I'm on your side on this one.
Relax. This is the most we've talked about this movie.
Yeah.
Like, the most detail we've gotten into. And I'm now seeing the point Andrew is making, because it definitely, at a point the movie decides to go for broke. Like, it is already a weird movie because Boots is a lunatic. That is clear. His mind doesn't work how human minds work. But at some point, he's just like, listen, this is my first movie. I don't know if I'm going to get another one. So that the final act in this movie is all out. The first time I watch it, there are some things that I didn't appreciate about the movie. But watching it the second time, knowing what was coming, because I think it was expectations. I was using the trailer as too much of a benchmark the first time. So when the movie stopped being what that trailer promised, it was kind of It took me off guard.
Yeah.
But the second time I saw it, now that I knew what the movie was, mm-hmm. I was just able to enjoy like the mood of the, like the movie feels frantic and frenetic, and it feels like some weird shit happens at the end, but it still it feels fun. Like, it's not a fun movie, at the end, but it feels like the director and all the actors are trying to, what's the best way I can put this? It feels like they're going for it. It feels like they just went, you know what? We're just doing this. Like, we're ignoring. Like, I'm sure people got notes while this movie was being made. Like, don't do this.
Didn't read one of them.
It feels like they went, I don't care. Like, we're already here. Let's just keep going. And they did. And I appreciated that.
And the thing about it is, it's not just about the final act stuff, right? Like, to me, yeah. It's everything. Like, take, for example, Tessa Thompson, her character in this movie, yeah. Right? You see all of the fun stuff which you see in the trailer with, like, the shirts and the jewelry and all of her weird art stuff, which yeah. 80% of it, great. It's that last 20%. Like, there's a scene where you finally see the art installation and she pops out in with the thing you see in the trailer with, like, the cups,
yes.
Like, stuff. Mm-hmm. Her, whatever you want to call it, like a, and it's ridiculous and it's amazing. But then they take that extra step in yes. that scene, and it's not even a thing where, like, it's an extra step. It's an extra step that takes it that much further.
Yeah,
and then you sit in that step for like yeah. 5 minutes, and it's every piece of this movie does that.
Yeah. As I say, Boots, I think he's a madman. I think, like, clinically, I think someone needs to step in and speak with him. But for the time being, he doesn't, no one is doing that, and he doesn't, it feels like he doesn't care. Which is, what I'll say is, the second time I watched this movie, it felt refreshing. Like, having seen the movie already, watching it a second time, you're just like, this movie has a style, and that is what it is sticking to. Like, it is surprising that this movie made any money, because it felt like he was trying to lose. Whoever gave him money felt like he was actively trying to lose these people their money. And I enjoyed it the second time. I really did. I wasn't just to ensure that Andrew wasn't right. Like, I went, the second time I was scared. Because it's like, boy, if this is bad a second time, I don't know what I'm going to do. But the second time, I really came away feeling much better than the first. So, I like this movie. And whether or not you like this movie or not, it still belongs in this category, because, oh my, everyone. Everyone tried very hard. Both the teams played real hard. Henry Cavill in this movie, tremendous. Really good.
Yeah. Okay.
Next on this list is Vice. I've already kind of talked through most of my beats of that movie from the beginning. Yeah. I feel like maybe at this point I throw this off because it lives more enjoyably in the fire dump of hatred. But both teams did play hard in this movie. But yeah.
I mean,
First Reformed.
It sounds like it belongs on this list. Like, they tried, but you just hated all of the efforts.
Yeah, so, like, yeah.
So I actually put First Reformed on here. I don't like this movie, right? But all of the parts are good. It's actually kind of refreshing that it's in 4:3 and not widescreen. But also, it looks beautiful. It's extremely well acted, especially by Ethan Hawke. He's superb.
Had this movie been good, he'd have been in the MVP conversation.
Oh, absolutely. and I actually kind of like the ending, but...
Didn't get there.
Oh, you said you didn't. Okay, yeah, you fall asleep. And direction, sure, great. But this, it just didn't come together. This movie did not come together at all, unfortunately.
Didn't watch it.
Yeah. The Endless.
We all saw this.
We all saw this. I may have put it
I
in here.
I did not.
But, yes. That's right.
I did not see it.
Still not?
Yeah.
Still not.
But why though?
Because I forgot.
So, this movie, after much thought, I don't believe it deserves to be in this category because... but we can keep it as for like consideration it. Because I kind of like it.
No, but this category doesn't mean you don't like it.
That's what I wanted.
I understand. So it will win.
Yeah.
But
yeah, this movie is like, it gets so much points for
creativity,
the concept alone.
Yeah.
Right.
I hope someone gives them money.
Yeah, I hope
so
too.
They make this movie with money.
Well, whether they make this movie or not, I hope they make another movie with money. And I hope they get somebody who knows how to act to do it. that was a team that didn't play hard, but most of them did.
No, he tried his best.
Yes, he did.
It didn't work.
It did not work. No, this is a joint pick. The next one by me and Damien, but I'll let Damien talk as he actually watched all of this movie.
Look, I may have fought my way through watching this movie. I may not find the goodnessity Andrew is talking about good at all. I found the story uninspired. And so the rest of the movie kind of fell apart after that. Like, but the thing no one can say about this movie is that the teams, the director did his job, the actors did the shit out of their job. The movie looks beautiful, it sounds beautiful. Like, it is... like either on this movie, at some point I feel like they're cheating because they're using these specialized super high res cameras to make these black and white movies look better than movies in color. Like they're using some state of the art lunacy cameras that don't work the same because you have to represent color in a different way. So they're cheating. But no one cares because what you get when they're finished is a movie where if you pause it at any time and you take a screenshot, you could tell anyone that that is a photograph. And while I did love Ida and didn't like this, the thing no one can deny is every part of this movie is like it's crafted so well that like this is a movie that when Oscars come around and you're like, oh, it won literally everything, you'll be like, yeah, that makes sense. I just wasn't enamored with the movie. I like the like telling a story about a maid who like goes through shit and ends up like being accepted by the family on its face should have been something that I should have just eaten up. I just didn't. I don't know what it is about this movie, but I just don't like it.
Like, so can I tell you can I tell you the one thing that I feel you would have appreciated a lot, but I'm pretty sure you didn't get this part of the experience. So the first time I watched this movie, I went to the theater out here to watch it. I didn't see it at home. And the sound is one of the more fantastic things about this movie if we're talking about technical things.
Yeah.
Right? I know you pay a lot into your sound setup, but I'm pretty sure Netflix isn't giving you like the perfect Atmos thing.
Netflix does the 5.1, so that's fine.
Right? Like, there were points where I would hear things behind me, and then being so immersed into the movie, I realized like 30 minutes in, no, that was like the people behind me talking in Spanish. Mm-hmm. I thought there were characters in the movie that were just behind me talking because of how good the sound immersed me into the movie. Yeah, like, right?
Andrew, in a perfect world, like you, I'd have had this movie somewhere in my top 10. Like, everything lined up for this movie to be good. Except the part that the movie hinges on. Like, this movie is nothing without its story. If you don't enjoy the story, you kind of SOL. Like, there's just nothing there for you. And
is it weird, one of the moments from this movie that always stick with me, that I keep thinking about, there's the scene where she goes to meet Fermin at his village. And you see them training, and you see what I'm going to call the luchador, right? Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure he's not a luchador, but that's what I'm going to call him.
He's a luchador. So I think that's his... Wasn't his name... what was his name?
Latin Lover. Latin Lover, like
right. Yeah.
And he's doing the feat, as he calls it. Uh-huh. And you hear a plane in the distance, and as the camera goes up, you start to see the plane going through his arms pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, that image has always been seared into my mind with this movie. Like, there are literally like 1,000 other images, as you've talked about, with the visuals of this movie that are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And as you say, you screenshot them, you think they're the most beautiful thing ever. But for some reason, that specific image and the sound and everything coming together is the thing that I remember every time I think about the movie Roma, which is weird because it has nothing to do with the main character. It's just one of these one-off moments, right? But yeah, it's just there.
Like, watching her clean, especially that driveway, and like, even the movie isn't in color, and you can see the dirt. Like, you can see her physically cleaning away the dirt, and you're just like, movie, you're cheating now, dog. Like,
there's one thing I heard somebody say, which I didn't catch on to about this movie, which is that when the movie opens, as you're looking at that floor that she's cleaning, the movie opens with you looking down, but it ends with the camera up into the sky, almost as if you've made this transition over the period of the film. And those are the little touches I always love to discover with movies like this.
Yeah, those are the things make me not want to talk to film nerds.
And Douglas will just be like, I fell asleep.
He's literally saying horum for it.
But yeah. I love this movie. And we'll get more into it as I try to stab and fight my way into the list.
Oh, yeah. We'll see how that goes.
I'm kind of... You see, how I'm thinking about it is that I can give up the first 7 spots.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere in the bottom 3, I can fill something in for myself, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. I'm sure something can get in there.
Yeah.
Right.
But Terminal...
I don't know who put this here.
Douglas, I think I might have put it here. Wow. Terminal is not a great movie.
Douglas, like Star Wars,
but
my argument would be
but Damian,
that the teams didn't play very
Margot
hard.
Robbie's team played extremely hard.
But I don't know if you look and see where it says at the name of the title, the title of his award is both teams.
I guess.
Margot and Robbie are the same person.
But the thing about it is that Margot Robbie played well enough for both sides.
Margot Robbie is 80% of the movie.
Yes.
I'll accept that, but she's still not both sides of the ball. She only plays offense.
Damn it. But I do. I kind of like this movie.
She did
but
not play it's special teams or defense. It's such a
weird little shitty genre film.
It is weird. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
But what I will not give you is that it is good.
No. Well, again, this is not the good teams yes. award. Yes.
And I also disagree that both teams.
Fine.
Yes.
And we move on to Mute, which we've spoken about before.
Who put this on the list?
No idea.
I think
Who
I might
put
have.
This on the list?
I think you cannot argue that both teams did not play hard in this.
The Mute didn't play hard, and he was a lot of the movie. I will argue that he did not play at all.
I think the direction was great.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was some acting.
Not by the lead actor. The lead actor did not do any of it. I will argue one team played hard. If Paul Rudd was the left winger,
the left winger kept appearing every once in a while, but he didn't score a goal.
Yes. I will say the midfield and forward line was absent.
All right. Well, the next one nobody else has seen, so you fuckers cannot argue with me.
No argument to be had.
But Damsel, I think the acting was good. The feel of the movie, the direction of the movie was good. It just didn't. It didn't work. This thing about I'll try and put comedic elements into this cowboy thing just didn't work for them. But there were some great things about this movie. Like Mia Wasikowska, she became the baddest of badasses in this film.
Isn't this like the 18th movie she's made where she does that?
Well, she was within the context of this being a movie in the old West where women were women, right? Or whatever they were at the time.
Yeah, back when women were women.
Exactly, right? But yeah, this movie, strong gameplay, but listen, the goals just didn't come.
Yes.
They got a lot of chances, right. But
it was an up and down game.
Yeah, it was. Hereditary. Who has watched this? Have you watched this, Damian?
Come on, dog.
I've seen this.
Come on. Andrew, first of all, fuck this movie.
You know better. You know better.
I'm so upset with this movie. But
I'm just happy Andrew didn't step to me at any point saying, yo, Damian, you need to see this.
Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. You almost should.
Listen.
Almost.
You're going to argue that What's-Her-Face gives she does, tremendous performance.
Yeah, but that's a no-brainer, right?
But I've seen the trail.
Yeah, everything. Honestly, a lot of this movie works. It's top quality stuff. Mm-hmm. And I would say for the first 45 minutes to an hour, it's a great movie about loss.
Yes.
And how the family deals
and
with
that
it.
Son is the worst son in the world.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. He is. And then they're like, wait, why don't we just make this into a horror movie? Okay. And that's where it fucks up. Okay. So
it's in the back half of this movie. Yeah, shenanigans.
Yeah, it's just rubbish.
But the technical stuff about this movie are
absolutely
great.
They're so
right?
good.
Like one of the things I love about this movie, Toni Collette, her character is basically doing these miniatures. She's an artist who works with miniatures. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the movie, they do this thing where you're like, the camera is coming into the miniature, and then for some magical reason, it dissolves into like the real image, because she does all of these miniatures that are based on whatever reality or thing she's dealing with. So like, there's one about her with her house, and then the camera will come in, and then you'll think to yourself, oh, he's doing a neat thing where he also had like a miniature sun in there.
Right.
But then you see the sun move off without any real cuts. And I don't know what they really did to get it to work. I don't know if it's kind of like with Game Night. I don't know if you noticed this about Game Night. They did whatever camera they used. Like, I don't know if they actually had miniatures or they used some special lens that made the real world look kind of like a miniature-ish thing.
Right.
But it felt very much like that. And just technically seeing that, like, it looked really fucking cool. Right. Yeah. Some of the effects in the back half of the movie are really good, right? And just the way that he films, like, some of those dinner scenes with Toni Collette where she just starts going off. Like, technically, this movie is fucking amazing, right? Like, I'm not... This is a movie where I will commit to they played hard, right?
Yeah.
It's just that back half horror shit, like, yeah.
So, by the way, is there a reason why Pac Rim is here?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Certainly didn't put it on there.
Let's delete that.
Let's just skip it.
I don't know why it's there.
Because there's no argument to be made. No one is playing.
And then there's the bad times at the El Royale.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, before that, you've got your happy thing.
Yeah, didn't I speak about
it? Oh, yes, we did. Yeah. Cool. Yeah,
Douglas was, like, jumping the gun. He's like, I need to know what the fuck this happy print is, and I need to know it now. And then he forgot about it five minutes later when we got to it.
Of course.
He's literally like, all right.
Bad times at the El Royale. Have you seen this, Damien?
Yes.
So, I joked about this being Tarantino light without the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you on on Bad Times?
I don't like agreeing with you. this movie wanted to be special. Have you seen this, Douglas?
Not yet, but it is definitely on my shortlist.
It wanted to be something special. Like, you see it in the trailer. Like, it thinks it is... I think the real problem is it thinks it's better than it is. Like, they make this movie and make decisions in this movie with a confidence that is unearned and not executed. But there is a style... The style comes across in the trailer and continues throughout the movie. It is just the movie doesn't live up to what it could be, but it thinks it does. Like, and it is like Andrew is right where he's like, oh, it's Tarantino, like, because Tarantino does shit in all his movies where he's just like, listen, you're with me or you're not with me, so I'm moving on. And Tarantino is pandering to himself. Like, not to an audience. He assumes his audience will go along with him. But he's really making a movie that he would enjoy. And that is what this movie is doing. It's just not good enough to be able to do it, to do that. Like,
and then it's 2.5 fucking hours.
Yes. It's also not short. But it looks good.
And it has the right actors.
Yeah, you've seen the actors. Mm-hmm. The actors do their job. The storytellers didn't.
It's kind of upsetting to me because I was hoping that whatever Drew Goddard followed up with would be great. But this sadly is not that.
Yeah, very, very sadly, it is exactly what you just said.
Bingo.
That's a bingo.
That's a bingo. All right. Out of respect for Andrew, Roma cannot be on this list.
Roma cannot be on this list, exactly. So I'm saying, what about First Reformed, Hereditary?
Sorry to bother you,
yeah. Although I'd say, were you really there belongs on this list, but whatever. And it sounds like the ones that tried the hardest but failed to entertain was Hereditary.
Yes.
Like, that one sounds like the one where everyone was doing work and somehow... after seeing their work in, you're just like, no, sir. Yeah, you are getting... We see where you tried hard, but you are getting a failing grade. Yep.
So with that,
yes,
our teams that played the hardest out of 2018, the winner of that being Hereditary, with the follow-ups going to First Reformed and Sorry to Bother You.
Yes, sir.
This is where we're going to be taking a break from the extravaganza. So we have now awarded 7 awards for 2018. It's amazing. We have, this episode specifically, we have decided on our MVP of the year, which went to one Madame Aquafina from Crazy Rich Asians and Ocean 8. The Balotelli Award, the most fun film of the year, went to Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. And the Both Teams Played Hard Award, which went to Hereditary. So this is the end of this episode. We're going to come back tomorrow, and we're going to have the official top 10 films of 2018 awarded in this continued piece of madness that we have done. So thanks for listening, and see you listen to more tomorrow.